All right, everybody, welcome to the 375th edition of the Holy Backboard Podcast. I am Dustin here in Rip City, and I got my man
Sage, ready to do our first official mock draft of the draft cycle. I know we're a little late in comparison to other fans, podcasts involving the draft, but we have to talk about the Portland Trailblazers a lot. So, when it's official, we suck. We do draft talk. So this is
I
our
also
first
feel
official
like
mock.
draft talk really picks up in March. Like I know like the first of the year you start to I got a little pep in my step. But March is when it happens. Like you get March Madness, you've got enough tape on the overseas players, you start to identify who's had a solid season. 'Cause like you can jump out of the gates hot, but then you can cool off. Like by now,
Trey
I think
Alexander, for instance.
there's a big sample size to go off of now. You're also starting to see what teams are going to be slotted in certain groups. So you have an idea. So this to me is really when it starts to get really fun, right? Like March, spring, you got NBA playoffs coming up. Obviously, you got the tournament
Conference
and
championship games are going to be fun too.
conference championships start, I think, next week or the week after. So
Go
really
Providence.
close. Really excited to get into this. We are going to do a one take tankathon simulation. So it's not going to be the current standings. We're not going to do a ton of takes until the Blazers move into the top four. If the Blazers fall, they fall. And it's interesting because I have a personal big board of like five or six guys that I really like for the Blazers. So if they drop, seven or eight, that's going to be tough. So let's get into it, Sage. Let's go through the we're only going to do a lottery mock draft as well to kick things off. So the first 14 picks, which Portland should have two, unless Golden State somehow magically jumps up into the top four.
All right, ready? Blazers stay at five. So, can you see it?
I can. So overall, not much has changed. You mind if I kick things off, Sage?
Go for it.
All right. The Pistons getting the first overall pick is interesting. This is definitely a fit type of lottery, more so than any year that I can remember. I'm gonna have them take Zachary Risacher, the small forward from France. They are a team that is in desperate need of shooting. They've already tried the double big lineup, whether it's Bagley and Wiseman or Duren and Isaiah Stewart, whatever combination of those bigs that they put together was one of the main components of them going on that 28 game losing streak. They need shooting. Cade is a playmaker. Ivy's undersized. Asar Thompson, as much as we both love him, is having a lot of struggles from the 3-point line this season. They need a knockdown shooter, and Risacher has really came on strong the second half of the season for his team in France. He is number one on a lot of people's big boards, at least top three. I think he really fits like a glove with the Pistons.
Okay, so the Spurs, I think where they are mocked is where they will go. They are in desperate need for a point guard that can get Wemby involved. And I think the Spurs have the makings of a team that can support Topic and his weaknesses. Obviously, his strength is playmaking, getting downhill, and making the right pass. But you need to have competent defenders behind him. I think Wembanyama is a generational defender. And you need spacers for Topic. And I think Devin Vassell does that. That drafting shooters is going to be much easier than finding a guy that can generate offense for not only Wemby, but you have Devin Vassell that needs usage. You got Keldon Johnson. I think Topic is perfect for what the Spurs are trying to do. And they get another European guard to lead the Spurs in the quest for a title. So I think Topic at two is perfect. I think that that's where they should be mocked. Unless the only person that I would think maybe they could go is Risacher just because of the shooting. But I think Topic and his playmaking is the top thing for the San Antonio Spurs.
Would you be opposed if the Spurs took Sar here, given that they have the seventh pick in this mock and could potentially get Topic there, or even a player like Stephon Castle, late, or Rob Dillingham, who, or Reed Shepard? Like, there are other guards, and if they're not sold on Topic, like, just given how Wemby knows how to play inside and outside, I think he makes up for Sar's lack of scoring. Like, defensively, I just think that team would be possibly...
They would be monsters.
That's the new kryptonite, right? Like, Golden State going small with Draymond was the flavor of probably half a decade. I think the Spurs getting Sar and Wembanyama, like, defensively, the things they could do, I would be scared if the Spurs went Sar there. I understand them going Topic, but I wouldn't put it past me to see them take the big man.
It's tough because I think that Sar could be good, but there's just so many glaring weaknesses. And I know Wemby clears them up, but when you're talking about the dude who's the best playmaker in a draft and you are in desperate need for it, I think Topic would be the pick, but Sar, I think, would be interesting. Cody Williams would be interesting, but I think you go Topic here and you're pretty happy with your playmaking guard. And then you have a pick at seven, and it's like, we could get, if someone fell, like if we got Ron Holland or if we got Cody Williams, that's like a whole new, you know, about pieces of weaponry that are still helpful for Wemby and the Spurs.
Speaking of Alexander Sarr, he is who I will select for the Washington Wizards after going upside with Bilal Coulibaly in last year's lottery. The Wizards get, in many cases, the number one prospect in this year's class in big man Alex Sarr. It's to be determined whether he is a four or a five at the next level, but one thing is certain. The Wizards, probably more than any team in the entire association, need talent infusion. And they need something other than what they have, right? They need to get off of this. I know he's no longer there, but the Rui Hachimura, the Corey Kispert, the Jan Vesely, the Denny Avdia, like that mold of player, they need to move away from it. They've tried it. It doesn't work. This is also a team that took Johnny Davis 2 years ago, and that hasn't worked out. So they are really starting from ground zero, getting a player like Sar who can, at the very least, start to begin to anchor a defense for them. Will be key. This is a long, long-term rebuild, probably more so than any other team in the league. So this is the first of many building blocks for them. But I think in terms of, I think of any team that needs to go best player available, it's the Washington Wizards.
And could you imagine the defense with Blau and Sar? Like, that is the, and then you got Corey Kisper, you got Denny Avdia. You have the makings of a really hard-nosed defensive team. And that at least is an identity instead of this, you know, street ball type of thing that we're looking at with Kuz and Jordan Poole. I don't think that either of them are long-term pieces, but you're building something with a defensive identity with the Wizards, which, I mean, we're looking at us at five. We don't have any identity. If they got Alex Sarr, you can start convincing yourself this team is going to slow pace down and make it difficult for the opposing team to score on us. So at four, Brandon Miller is legit good. And then they have LaMelo Ball and Trey Mann. And then I think the rest of the guys are replaceable. You could say Mark Williams is good, but he's rarely healthy.
Sage, at this point, is LaMelo Ball replaceable as well? Like, it just feels like he misses. I mean,
Trey Mann's doing a damn good job of...
He misses half of seasons, like, every year. Like, he's not durable in the least. I know he made kind of a pseudo all-star appearance a couple of seasons ago, but I know they consider him a building block, but... Trey Mann is at least giving them some stability. I'm not saying there's a point guard right here that they would take, but it was just more of a LaMelo Ball thought that I've had for some time that I don't know if he's that guy. They think that he is, but I don't think around the league that people view him as the guy.
I think I go Cody Williams here because I trust him more than Ron Hollins, who I have started the turnaround on Ron. But I think Cody Williams is more of a safer floor and a higher upside, he's going to be that secondary guy or tertiary guy with Brandon Miller and, you know, 30 games of LaMelo Ball, where he can drive to the inside and do his off-ball thing. You have another guy that's going to be a plus defender in Cody Williams. The Charlotte Hornets are one of the worst defensive teams in the association. So you'll match it, Brandon Miller with Cody Williams, and you're going to have your wing players for 10 more years. So as much as I talked about Cody Williams not being impressive, he's still a tier ahead of Ron Hollins and can fit around Brandon Miller and LaMelo Ball and whoever else they had. If Sar was there at four, I would have taken him. But since he wasn't there, I'm going Cody Williams with the fourth pick for the Charlotte Hornets. What do you think about that pick?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a draft class littered with wing talent, length, athleticism, size, positional versatility. So clearly the Hornets are another team that just needs big time talent. I think they made a smart pick taking Brandon Miller. They're still probably looking for that alpha, but I don't know if the alpha exists in this draft. So you just kind of have to take another building block and take another step forward in the right direction. At five, if I'm the Blazers, this shapes out extremely well. One of my guys is still on the board. I am going to take Ron Holland from the G League Ignite, former University of Texas, verbal commit, really played well at the Nike Hoop Summit coming off of a really good senior season. Like most top prospects in the G League Ignite system, struggled. And he had his struggles shooting from downtown, just 24% from the three-point line. But he has such a great motor. He has good size at 6'8", 200 pounds. I think he can come in and play right away. There is some refinement that needs to come to his game. But I've been watching, as I always do, a lot of the early 90s Blazers. And where did they thrive? They thrived in the open court, and they thrived with play finishers like Jerome Kersey. And Jerome Kersey came into the league with the same kind of tendencies that Ron Holland had. An incredible motor, great athlete, play finisher, and just needed to kind of fix that jump shot. And he turned into a respectable jump shooter from about 15 to 17 feet. Now, the game wasn't as spread out as it is now, but I've seen enough with Ron Holland that he's not going to have to be the primary creator on this team. You don't need him to isolate. I do believe that he will become at least a league average shooter on spot up attempts. And I have seen some good step back, you know, moves from him that there is, I think, another gear that he could get to. But on the surface, if he just becomes a solid defender and a great play finisher where you can go with Scoot and Shaden and Ron Holland and just really push the tempo, rebound the basketball, get out on the break, like you're starting to find your core players and your core identity. And I think this is a really solid spot for Portland because preseason mock drafts had Holland as the consensus number one guy. Obviously has a dip in the year at G League Ignite, and it could be a blessing in disguise for a franchise like Portland, who, when you do a redraft maybe 5 years down the road, could say, hey, we took the best prospect at five that kind of fell into our lap, similar to how kind of Shaden fell into their lap at seven because he had so many question marks as being kind of the man of mystery. Like there are benefits to kind of staying back in the middle part of the lottery. It just kind of ends up working it out that like that.
In your estimation, is he going to be the four or the three in the when he plays?
I think it's matchup determined. I think Jeremy Grant's probably on the roster, and I think Jeremy's better at the three, so that you could slide Ron into the four, or you know, you could play him with Tumani if Tumani keeps improving that 3-point shot. Like I don't think there's necessarily have to pigeonhole him into a three or four.
Yeah, I feel like he fits with the team. He absolutely is a three in this league and has traditional size. So I think that it is a good move. And now it's time for them to hit on pick 13 as well in this draft. But you've got yourself a really nice third or fourth option. One of the things that I didn't like about Ron was that I didn't see him as a alpha scorer, give him the ball and he'll make things happen. But if he gets to have like a simple role of just trying to score in transition, off ball cuts, I think that it's great. It's just like where you speculate Ron Hollins to be. You have Shaedon Sharpe, you have Scoot Henderson. You don't need him to be alpha. But if he is your third guy, that's awesome. So at six, it's tough because I like Jacoby Walter, but his absolute ice dumpster of a slump really makes me worried. But I think that the potential of him shooting is intriguing. But I think I'm going to go with Matas with the Grizzlies because he's a taller player that can do many different things. You've seen the Grizzlies right now, and they're just so ass at everything when Ja Morant's off the floor. You're putting so much pressure on Desmond Bane to be like a superstar. If you have Matas, he's going to be one of the best connective pieces for the Grizzlies. You have the shooting with Dez, you have all of this, but you know they wanted a small forward to be legit for a very long time. I think with Matas, he gives you everything you need as that third guy that just is the connective piece to make the Memphis Grizzlies run extraordinarily well. So I think Matas at six is where I would go. Jacoby in his shooting, Reed Sheppard in his shooting are interesting, but Matas just gives you so much at a 6'11 body, and he's really doing well since Ron Hollins is injured and out for the year. So he's showing that he can be a bigger part of the offense with the elite, but having him just be the third guy on a team at best is really, really a sneaky good pick. So I think they'll take the higher upside with Matas at six. What do you think for the San Antonio Spurs? Where are you going to go with that?
I was going to say, we're not projecting trades, but I would put this pick on the market. I think Memphis is ready to contend right now. And I don't know if there's a guy that's going to come in and perform right away. Like, this was a team that won 56, 57 games just 2 years ago. Clearly, they had a ton of off-court stuff, and then injuries took over, and that team is a shell of their former selves. I would have went different direction for Memphis just because I know Matas is going to go lottery. He's not even close to being a top 14 player on my board. I just think he's got bust written all over him. If he does hit, it does make sense for Memphis.
Who would you have gone?
For Memphis, I would have gone, I think they could have gone two ways and address their small forward issues because they definitely need one. I think they could have gone Stephen Castle because, you know.
Yeah, I get that.
He's got the ball handling. He does need to work on the shooting, but the defense is there. I think he doesn't need to be the lead playmaker. I think he could.
I think he's new age LaMelo Ball.
Yeah. And then also, if they're looking for a piece right away, and this is so the Grizz always kind of go off the map. I could see Dalton Connect with a big tourney run, just filling it up alongside of John Bain and Jaren. At seven, the Spurs are another team that kind of go off the cusp. They've already taken Nikola Topic with the second overall pick. I'm going to have them go Johnny Furphy from Kansas. Australian 6'9", unexpected one and done from Kansas, really elevated his game when he was inserted into the starting lineup, can absolutely stroke it from downtown, a great rebounder for his position, moves pretty well. Anytime you play alongside Victor Wembanyama, you don't really necessarily have to be a plus defender because he can just erase so many mistakes. And the thing about Furphy over a guy like Connect here is the Spurs are going to take the longer term upside player. They're on Wembanyama's timeline. They don't need somebody right away. I think they can kind of mold Furphy into what they are looking for. And as always is the case with Portland, with OKC and the San Antonio in this draft, with two lottery picks, you can gamble a lot more especially with that second pick, because you're kind of playing with house money.
Yeah, I was saving Furphy. I was hoping Furphy would fall to the Rockets at 8. But you, the one thing you need with Topic and Wembanyama is space. So you have Furphy now, you have Devin Vassell. You have two elite shooters that are versatile shooters. That's going to do wonders for Topic and Wemby. The space, the center, the paint is open, and now you have Topic just dishing. So I think that is a really good pick for the Spurs here. The Houston Rockets absolutely positively need shooting in the worst way. So I'm going to go Jacoby Walter. I could go Reed Sheppard here, but here's the thing. I think the Rockets want defenders. And I know Reed and his defensive stats look amazing, but I honestly think Reed is a really bad defender. His hands just make up for everything. I see him having, like, when he's sliding, his feet get tangled. So I'm going to go Jacoby Walter here. I think his shooting and Reed's are basically equal. And I know Jacoby is kind of thought of as an iffy defender, but with the Baylor system, I think that highlights some deficiencies more than an NBA defense would. So I'm going to go Jacoby Walter here for the much needed shooting, because everyone else is an in theory shooter on that Rockets team. So you got a guy that's really confident that can stroke it. And I think that when he's meeting with teams, I think Jacoby Walter and I guess Reed Sheppard as well are going to impress GMs. So I'm going to go Jacoby Walter here with the Houston Rockets. And I'm going to hope that slide in real life, when this happens, Jacoby doesn't slide farther. And I think it's a need, because the Rockets are such an iffy shooting team. So Jacoby Walter to the Houston Rockets at 8.
Yeah.
And right here, this one's an interesting, where Atlanta could potentially go. This is going to be a very interesting draft selection.
Before Atlanta, if you're taking Jacoby, are you doing that as Jalen Green insurance? There's rumors that he was included in the Mikal Bridges package. He has regressed since his rookie year. He's probably going to be up for a contract extension shortly. Is that your thought process here, or just more overall depth?
It was the glaring need of shooting was first in my mind. Of course, the replacing Jalen Green with a shooter like Jacoby could be a positive for Amen, because Amen is just like his brother and needs spacing, because he's such a 2 feet in the ground type of score, 2 feet in the paint. So I was really thinking about Amen here instead of Jalen Green, just making life easier for Amen to be as elite as possible. You need shooting. So I was trying to think of what's best for Amen right here.
Makes sense. Yeah, the Hawks at 9 is probably maybe the most difficult pick to make to date, because nobody knows what the Hawks are doing right now. The Trae Young, DeJounte Murray backcourt pairing has not worked out as expected. They still have a logjam at center with Clint Capella and Onyeka Okongwu. And until one of those two is moved, I'm going to assume that's the duo moving forward. It took them forever to get off John Collins. They end up selling him for a loss. First round picks in the lottery kind of fizzle out in Atlanta or don't get the opportunity, whether you're looking at a DeAndre Hunter or an AJ Griffin. Just not a lot has been, there's not been a lot of production from that position. And unfortunately, there's just not a great kind of catch and shoot shooting guard right there, or even a four that they could use. I know Rob Dillingham is probably higher than the 9th on a lot of people's big boards, but I just can't see them stomaching another small backcourt. Filipowski, again, I don't love the fit with their bigs. This is really difficult. I think the Hawks, they could go in one of two directions. They could say, we're going to try to continue to contend. Mm-hmm. You know, they did make the conference finals, you know, 3 years ago now in 2021. Mm-hmm. Or they could try to sell Trae Young for a Donovan Mitchell type of price, right? I don't think they're going to trade Trae quite yet. I think they did hold on to DeJounte. They didn't like the offers that they got for him. So where do they go? I'm going to go Dalton Connect here at nine. It's really hard to pass up on a score of his ability, just the ability for him to shoot the ball from NBA range, and he can shoot the ball off the pull-up. His release is nearly unblockable. He's doing this in the SEC. We saw this last year with Brandon Miller. Like, if you're putting up these numbers in the SEC in a major Power 5 conference, chances are it's going to translate. He's a hard worker. He's a fifth-year senior. He's from, you know, Colorado Junior College, transferred from, I think, Northern Colorado to Tennessee for his final season. Like, this is his first year playing, you know, Power 5 hoops, and he's excelling. He is the focal point of every defense he goes up against. He isn't a vertical athlete, but he plays with power, and he has the ability to finish in traffic. He looks like an NBA player when you watch him off of curls. He is an NBA level scorer. He's ready, and he's not going to have to be the focal point when you have Trey.
Trey's going to make his life so easy.
When you got Clint rolling to the hoop, like, he's going to be an absolute bucket. He reminds me so much of Jeff Malone. Like, I've been watching the Blazers Jazz 91 series, and the way he shoots is just like Jeff Malone, probably a modern day version because he's clearly got more range than Jeff does. But he is just, he's like a combo of like Jeff Malone and JJ Redick, like a powerful JJ Redick, like that can just get to the bucket, get to the free throw line. I love him. And if he's my guy, like if Portland falls to seven or eight and, you know, Ron and Cody are off the board, just take Dalton and figure it out at 13, because I really am starting to believe that he is going to have, he's not going to be an all-star, I don't think, but you're going to be happy when he's in your starting lineup just because of the spacing he's going to give you. I think in stretches, he could be your number one option for 2 to 3 minutes while your key guys are getting a breather. I love the story. You know, he's a hard worker, and you know, he's not going to be satisfied just being a lottery pick. Like, he wants to be able to prove himself. He's got the chip on his shoulder. So he's been a huge kind of revelation for me this year. And that's where I go with Atlanta, who, again, I think is in a tricky situation to pick for.
So let's say they run it back. It's Trey, it's DeJounte, it's Dalton, it's Jalen Johnson and Clint Capella.
With Onyeka and DeAndre Hunter.
I think Jalen Johnson just looks like a star. So, I mean, as much as I like DeAndre Hunter.
Well, Hunter off the bench.
It's a talented team. Obviously, they have to, like, get some defenders sometime. Because it really is on Onyeka. This is like, you know, the jailbreak Blazers where it was Dame and CJ and all these non-defenders. Eventually, they're going to have to focus on defense. But I think that Dalton is a really good pairing for Trey and DeJounte if they run it back. So I like your pick. I think at 10...
We both have OKC, so it doesn't really matter at 10 or 11. So
I'm going Reed Shepherd at 10.
Do you want to co-GM this?
So I'm thinking Reed Shepherd because of his shooting. And then they need a more powerful center, right? Is that what you're thinking?
They need size. They didn't address it at the deadline. They've got... OKC is in that position. I guess it's a better position than most, clearly. You know, they're one of the top three teams in the Western Conference. But with so many upcoming picks, they're already having to depreciate their assets, right? Mm-hmm. We see Trey Mann could not get off the bench, and now he's been a revelation in Charlotte. They took Alexei Pokushevsky in that just on the fringes of the lottery in 2020, had to release him, didn't see enough from him, didn't get enough time to develop. You have to assume they're going to start packaging players and getting some veteran talent. Like, so they're just in a really weird position where they have so much talent, but you only have a certain amount of roster guys. They did use the lottery pick last year on Cason Wallace. You know, if Jacoby hadn't been selected, I really love Jacoby here because I don't know how much longer they're going to hang on to Lu Dort. Like, they're going to basically just run a money ball scheme, right? They're going to pay the cream of the crop, but they'll let the players like Lu Dort outplay their contract and then move on. Similar to what the Spurs used to do in the mid 2000s. So it'll be interesting to see where they go here.
If do you it think was me there's doing
too much
picks,
overlap between Reed Sheppard and Cason Wallace?
I don't, because of the defense that Cason does, and then because I'm not a believer in Reed's defense, I think that he's there as the much needed spacer. I still think that they desperately need shooting and size. So if it was me doing these picks, I would go Reed and Yves Messi. But I think with the first pick of the OK2, I'm going Reed Sheppard for the shooting. And then if I'm wrong about him defensively, you've got a really nice role player. I know that people are comping him out to some outrageous Kentucky like superstars like Shea and Devin Booker. I don't believe that, but I think of him as a guy that's going to be an NBA player for a very long time because he is a very smart player. The hands are amazing. The shooting is top tier. So I think that it fits with Shea and the rest of those guys. Like J-Dub wants to be in the paint. Shea wants to be in the paint. Giddy wants to be in the paint. You need to have good shooters to make that happen. So I think just as a spacing issue, Reed Sheppard is there. Obviously, I don't think he's 6'3". I think he's going to measure short just like Rob Dillingham and a lot of these other small guards. But I think Reed Sheppard at 10 is a really nice value for the Thunder. And I think that it would be scary if all of the things with Reed and, you know, evaluations come true that he's an elite defender that is just a really great connective piece that can shoot. So I'm going to go the Reed upside.
At 11, a lot of people like Kyle Filipowski to the Thunder. I can see it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go Donovan Clingan here to give them some true size. And I don't think he needs to be their starting center. Like, just like they drafted Cason Wallace to come off the bench, Donovan Clingan in a specified role is going to be a problem, caveat, if he can stay healthy. And this is why I wouldn't draft him if I'm Portland, just because of the foot issue. I don't like drafting big men with the history of injured feet. But with OKC having so many picks year after year, these are the type of players that they can gamble on. And he is a type of player that they've never had in this era. I watched him against Seton Hall, and he's hitting his stride right now. He was having troubles with his conditioning earlier on. He's playing
that happens minutes. When you put 20 pounds of muscle on a frame that doesn't need 20 pounds of muscle.
I think he could lean up a bit, but I mean, he's going to be a good drop coverage big. He's great defensively around the rim. Chet has shown the ability to play the four. Again, we talked about possibly doing Sar and Wembanyama, the twin towers of Klingon and Holmgren could also be a matchup nightmare. Like, OKC is so dangerous moving forward because they are a team just loaded with so many tools that no matter who they match up with in the next decade, they can say, oh, we can just pick this guy off our bench. He's going to play a bigger role this series. Mm-hmm. This guy's going to be a bigger part of the game plan next series. Like, they have so many options, and that is terrifying if you are a Western Conference arrival, which the Blazers are. And I think UConn is poised for another deep playoff run or tournament run, excuse me. And I think Klingon is going to play a big role in that. So he may even go higher than 11, but I think they go Klingon here. In the past years, they probably take a flyer on Tijan Salon, but they don't need that. They don't have the roster space for that. They've already took an Usman Jang 2 years ago who can't get off their bench. They did that with Pokuševski. They had to release him. So trying to give them something completely different so that they can actually make the roster is kind of my
if Donovan hits, he's like a super Walker Kessler.
Walker Kessler, that's exactly who I was like. Walker Kessler is a really good comparison. Neither is going to stretch the floor, but like, you're getting a really good rim runner. You're getting just a solid interior defender, a muscular body who's not going to need help for a double team. You can just play a lot of guys straight up. And you're not going to play him, unlike Walker, you're not going to, in this OKC system, you're not going to have to give Klingon more than 24 minutes a night.
Yeah, I think for Klingon, I really want to see him play more than like the 24 minutes that he has been kind of locked at UConn. And I think they're saving him for the actual tournament to turn him on. So I think a big tourney run by UConn and Donovan Clinging, he could go higher. But I feel very comfortable putting him at 11 and saving us the absolute fright of drafting Donovan Clinging with the Portland Trailblazers second lottery pick. So I'm totally cool with that. So we're here at 12, and man, I don't think Lonzo Ball is ever going to play again. Yeah, and are they going to continue to run it back with these guys that are only getting older and only more hurt? Like, Boos is went from a good center to just absolute dog shit. So in one instance, I could go with big, but I'm kind of curious.
I've got a flyer pick who I would go here, but I want to see who you would go with.
You know, it's tough because I was thinking Stephon Castle, but you know what? They have multiple guys that can do what Stephon Castle does. So it's kind of, you know what? Screw it. I go Yves Messi with Chicago at 12. I believe in Yves way more than I believe in Flip or Donovan Clinging. So I think you get a value set. Like, you get Clint Capella of this generation where he blocks shots at a really nice level. He can rebound. He sets screens. He set off-ball screens. So if they run it back with the meh three, you have a guy that can give space to Zach LaVine DeRozan. Or if they just say, screw it, we're going to tank, we got a guy that is just going to put in the effort and block shots and rebound. And, you know, you give Dalen Terry more time, you give Ayo Dosunmu more time. Yeah, I'm going to go Yves Messi. I think he's at 15. Chicago's at 12. It's not that much of a leap in, you know, expected value. But I think that he's a really, really good center that he's going to give you what you need defensively in the back end with block shots and defense. And then he's going to catch lobs and score in the paint. And I don't believe that Kyle Filipowski can do the defensive things that Chicago needs. So I'm going to go Yves Messi at 12 for the Chicago Bulls. Who were you thinking?
Your boo, Tyler Smith.
Well, I would love that, but I also kind of want him in Portland. But no, I get it. But Pat, you got Pat there. I believe Tyler Smith's probably... he fits with more teams than Pat will, but I don't know. I just am kind of disgusted by the Chicago Bulls' center rotation with Vooss and Andre Drummond, who, you know, they both put up empty calorie stats. So getting a guy that can establish the back line for the Chicago Bulls defense was more valuable to me than my guy Tyler Smith.
An interesting conundrum here for the Blazers at 13. They need a lot, but they also have so many players. Like, they, and I mean that because they have six combined rookies that they've drafted or traded for over the past 2 years. Shaden, Jabari Walker, Scoot, Repair, Murray, Kimani Kamara, and that's not even factor in Dwight Breith, who was kind of out of left field. I'm not considering players like Manaya or Higgins or Baji. I don't, like, those are just like kind of additions throughout the season. Like, these six or seven players were either drafted or directly played with the rotation. We're starting to become OKC light in that sense, because when you tear down something, you acquire draft capital, mm-hmm. and which is what Joe Cronin has done. So this pick was part of the Drew Holiday trade with the Boston Celtics, who had acquired this pick from the Golden State Warriors. Nobody really thought this was going to be in the lottery, and it still may fall probably further down the board. So this would kind of impact my decision. But at 13, it's just a really awkward position Unfortunately, my guy Dalton Connect is gone. If I was a GM, I would do whatever I could to talk to the Hawks and be like, what is it going to cost to move up four spots to get a shooter? Because I definitely think they need just a specialist who can shoot the basketball.
We kind of rated the shooting category this draft.
Exactly. You do have players that I think are higher on other mock drafts that I'm not going to go with, but I just don't think it makes sense. I don't think a Rob Dillingham makes sense here. I don't think Saloon makes sense here because you already have Ray and Rupert, who, if I'm being perfectly honest, I think it's a similar case study in the sense of it's a really raw, young, small forward from overseas. That's going to take some time. Like there comes a point in time where you can only develop so many resources, devote so many resources to a player. And we're already in with Rupert, and it's not like Saloon is like a top five consensus guy. Now I could be eating my words 5 years down the line, but this is just kind of my thought process. I know Filipowski's high. I don't really want to go Filipowski here because again, Portland has DeAndre Ayton locked in. You've got Dwight Breith, who is 27, but he does give you something different, who can space the floor. And then you've got Robert Williams, who you are going to play next year because you either want to keep him to help your defense, or if he performs well enough, you might want to sell higher. So just a really weird position for the Blazers. I'm torn between two prospects. I think one probably makes more sense, and that's Tyler Smith.
Boom! That's who I would have gone with.
100%. Yeah, that it makes more sense. But like the best player available, like Light, is really going off in my head, and that's Stephen Castle. And I understand you already taken Ron Holland, and the same knock on Castle is he's not a knockdown shooter, but you know, if one doesn't work out, maybe the other one does. I think this is, regardless, I think this is a trade down or a trade out scenario. If I'm Portland, I will go Tyler Smith, because I think he gives you some floor spacing. He could possibly be a Jeremy Grant replacement down the road. Jabari Walker is a completely different player. Chris Murray is not the shooter we thought he was going to be, although he does a lot of things well. I would go Tyler Smith here at 13, but if it was draft time, my heart may go Stephon Castle.
So maybe I do a complimentary pieces on Tyler Smith, because I don't think we will have time to talk about Tyler Smith in as great detail as I would like, but I think he's one of those guys that I keep talking about in for the Blazers out of the four, a versatile four man that does a lot of things right. I think Tyler Smith can lamb it with the best of them, but what really is exciting to me is he can shoot the damn ball. And I think with the Blazers, and we just drafted Ron Holland, who is also a, in theory, shooter, having a guy like Tyler Smith who can shoot, who's very confident at shooting the ball, and then you can have, he can be a great partner for Scoot with his ability to slam it. I think that is a really good pick for you. And I think that he's learning how to be a defender. The G League Ignite is not a good place to learn how to play defense at an NBA level. So it might take him a little while to get the defensive responsibilities in order. But I think offensively, you got a guy that just fits with Scoot and Shadens perfectly, and Ron Holland. So I like the pick at 13 by you. I mean, I celebrated the second you said Tyler Smith. So obviously I like it.
All right, we've got the names left on the board for your New Orleans Pelicans. Who do you have?
So this is tough. Obviously, B.I. and Zion just don't fit long term. They're like a positive one in plus minus when those two are together. But I'm trying to think long term with the Pelicans here. I don't think CJ McCollum is going to be able to play at a high level forever. And I don't think that Dyson Daniels is a one. I think he is kind of a Lonzo Ball three. I know Isaiah Collier was at one point regarded as like the best player in NCAA. And then he got injured and then fell down. But I think that he would be the second best point guard in this draft. I know CJ isn't a point guard, but I think it's time to actually have a guy that can do something with the ball in his hands. And I'm going Isaiah Collier at 14 for the Pelicans because of his potential elite point guard play. Like, I've seen him absolutely dominate in games. Yes, he has a really shitty turnover percentage. Yes, he's not the best defender. But what he does with the ball in his hands as a creator is really high level. And then we just raided the cabinet full of shooters for the Pelicans could have. But we have Trey Murphy. I think that Isaiah Collier is just something that the Pelicans just don't have anywhere in their cabinet. A high usage point guard that can make decisions to score for himself or others. So we end this mock draft with Isaiah Collier going to New Orleans. Did you have anybody that the Pelicans would have gone with? I think we rated the point the shooting cabinet really well.
I could have seen them go Rob Dillingham here.
I could have too, but I just think that he's gonna measure so much shorter than he actually, like, on Tankathon right here, they're saying he's 6'3". I just don't believe that whatsoever. I think that Isaiah Collier is an official 6'4", 205 pounds. Like, I think that is a good height and weight for him. I just think that he's going to handle the physicality of the NBA so much better than Rob.
I also, Collier's a solid pick. I also, a couple of other options could have been Kevin McCuller from Kansas or Devin Carter from Providence.
My guy. I think Devin Carter down is going to be a point guard in the league, though.
With the thing, if you're keeping Ingram and Zion long term, I know you don't think the pairing's going to work, but I haven't gotten any inclination that they're.
No, I think that that's just me thinking that it won't work. I think
you have the ball dominance of those two players. Like, I don't necessarily think you need someone who is going to be that traditional playmaker. So that's where I would have, that's where McCuller kind of kept rising in my mind, just because he's been given that bigger secondary playmaker role at Kansas and he can shoot the ball. But yeah, Collier is a good upside pick as well. It's hard to make things happen in the late lottery. You're trying to swing for the fences, but also take a player that's going to help you, because this is the Lakers pick. This isn't the New Orleans pick.
No, this isn't the New Orleans
pick. This is a team that still has, you know, aspirations of going deeper in the postseason.
Yeah, the Pelicans would have had the 23rd pick, so they could have gone. I mean, Kevin McCullers or my beloved Devin Carter probably are going to still be there at their pick. So having a guy like Isaiah, just, it's so much different than the rest of the Pelicans. Like, Dyson's is a wing in reality. CJ's a combo guard. Like, they just don't have a guy that I trust with the ball in their hands. And of course, I've seen Isaiah suck at decision making sometimes, but a motivated Isaiah Collier, if Willie Green can motivate him to play his hardest all the time, you're looking at probably the biggest value in the draft. Like, he there is a world where Isaiah Collier is the best player in this draft. And it's like not even a non-zero chance. Like, this is a very big possibility. Isaiah Collier is just the best dude in the draft. But yeah, I think this is a really fun.
Does it for Mock Draft 1.0, Sage. We will be doing this again probably in April. We'll do a couple more.
It's fun.
And then we'll do one once the lottery has officially been announced in May. And then we'll do our fourth and final one maybe a week before the draft. Yeah. Future Fridays coming up. We've got Zachary Risa-Shea. I want to do one on my guy Dalton Connect. And then we'll kind of go from there.
Yeah. I mean, one of the main reasons I like doing the solo content, I know that you're busy. You're a father. You have family responsibility. I don't. I can watch Devin Carter. I can watch 12 Providence games and it doesn't like affect me. Watching enough Providence games to get the intricacies of Devin Carter. So I like that this year we're going to have a lot more draft content, because legitimately, this draft's important because we have so many picks, and I know some probably will get traded, but we're going to have at least a few more young guys. Having an idea of who is going to get drafted is so valuable. I mean, the fact is, two of our Future Fridays last year are on the team currently. Like, having all this information about a player is so valuable to us and hopefully to the listeners. So thank you so much for giving us a chance doing all this draft content. I hope everybody enjoys it. Thank you for listening. We are out. Peace.